Life Church created this podcast because we all need healthy conversations with real people. So this podcast is here to help you start conversations with your life group, friends, and family. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to the You've Heard It Said podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Jason.
And I am very excited about this episode because I brought a good friend of ours.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hello, Catherine. Welcome to the podcast. So Catherine also works on our content team, and I invited her to bring a game for us today.
Okay.
Yay. So, Catherine, could you tell us how to play?
Yes, it's very simple. I'm going to say a word in French, and you have to guess what it means.
Okay.
And whichever of you gets it right, well, you get a point. And that's how you win, Jason.
And Allie, you don't speak French, right?
I don't speak French.
You haven't studied French.
I have not.
You didn't have a semester abroad
no.
in France? Okay.
No.
Me neither. Have,
okay.
Okay.
I'm glad you clarified that.
All right, ready for the first one?
Ready.
I was born ready for this.
Here we go.
Okay.
Voisinage.
Neighborhood.
Yes, that is correct.
Yay!
Voisinage means neighborhood.
What?
Yeah. All right.
You didn't even get an answer in.
How do you...
Next word, Catherine. Next
okay,
word.
Here we go. Soin.
Swan.
No.
Skirt.
No, sorry. It means care.
How do you just guess skirt out of swan?
I don't know. It sounded like a skirt. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's try again. Apprendre.
Upon.
To hope?
Small lake.
No, it means to learn.
Okay.
Next word is espérer.
Spirit.
No.
Spirited.
No.
Free.
No.
Smell.
Okay, Allie's turn. Allie, got a guess?
Care?
No.
To hope?
Because soin was care.
Oh, right. To hope.
To hope. To hope, it is.
I said it first, so that is my point.
Why does it feel like you just have a list of possible words
okay,
in your head?
I think this is all in your head.
So. Next word. Ready for this one?
Yes.
Miséricorde.
Mercy.
I know this one.
Yes, that is it.
3-0.
What were you going to say, Jason?
I was going to say mercy.
Right.
Well, you're still too slow.
So. Okay, how about this one? Jumelle.
Ring.
Caramel.
No, not ring or caramel.
Pin.
Female twins.
Pin.
Yes, it is female twins. Wow, that's amazing.
Okay. Or, this is something's going on.
Here's another one. Bag.
Baguette. Bread.
Nope.
Ring.
Yes, it's a ring. Of course it is.
That's an easy one. Yeah, bag. Because I'm wearing a bag around my feet.
Sorry, I kind of tricked you on that one.
Okay, let's do one more. You can do this. Jupe.
Skirt.
Yes, that is a skirt.
Okay, so she guesses skirt for some other random word. She guesses skirt again. Either she's reading your wavelengths in your brain, or she's cheating, or she's prepared.
So which is
okay,
it, Allie?
All right. So I will be honest and say that I did have a list of English words. To be fair, though, I didn't know which one was assigned to which, so I still had to guess. I just had a list of words.
That's interesting because I also had a list of English words. There was just like millions of them that I didn't choose from.
Okay, let's make it...
Okay.
Let's make it more fair this time. Let's do a second round where neither of you has a list of words.
Yeah. I was not told about this
But this
one.
Will be... There's a twist on this one. These are actually English words, but they're used in England. So they're British words. They mean something different
so we say
in
what
American
they mean,
English.
Or we say the word.
So I'm going to say the word and you'll have to tell me the American meaning of it. Here we go. Now we'll just jump into it. It'll
okay.
be fine. Trainers.
Shoes.
Tennis shoes.
Yes. Okay. So
specifically tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes. Yeah. Sneakers.
Not just shoes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the same thing.
I get that point.
Oh, I think Jason gets that one.
All right.
Flannel. You should see Jason's eyebrows raised.
Tablecloth.
No, but clothes.
Blanket.
No.
Shirt.
No, it means washcloth.
I get that one too.
No, you don't. You didn't get
you
that
get
right.
Half, maybe half.
Half point.
You did have the word cloth in tablecloth.
I said cloth.
That doesn't...
Washcloths go on a table.
That's not the same thing. You get 0 points for that.
Okay, this one, don't be alarmed, but how about dummy?
It's stand-in for something.
No.
Why am I thinking a child? I don't know.
That is close. It means pacifier.
Yes. I knew it had something to do with a baby.
0 points.
Okay, if you get half a point for cloth, I get half a point for child.
Okay, how about chemist?
Pharmacist?
So close.
Doctor.
It's actually the drugstore.
Oh.
I will give you half a point for that one.
So I have a whole point now?
Okay, last one. Maybe you both know this. Let's see. Nappy.
Diaper.
Yes. Well done, Ellie.
So we both have a point and a half, I think.
Well, we tied. Okay, well, thank you very much for bringing the game to us, Catherine.
It's a pleasure.
So, Jason, how did you feel about the game?
Actually, I'm curious. Did I win the first round? What was the score?
Well, the grand total is, for the first round, Allie 6, Jason 0. And in the second round, 1.5 points each.
Yeah, so the second round felt more fair and even. I'm feeling a little bit self-aware about how competitive I can be. But two, okay, I think you're probably trying to teach me something about this. So you had some kind of advantage over me in the first one. You had information I didn't have. You had training, preparation I didn't have.
How did that make you feel?
Cheated. Like I was left out. Like there was no way that I could compete.
How did you feel on the second round?
I felt like I could compete, like we had maybe equal advantages.
Yeah, so the reason that I invited Catherine to help us play that game is because today's episode is all about education. And so we all maybe have the opportunity to learn, but we don't all start from the same place. Mm-hmm. And so that's the theme of this episode. To help us learn more about that, we're going to have a conversation with Rachel and Jessica from WizKids.
Wee wee.
Oh my goodness. Rachel and Jessica, welcome to the You've Heard It Said podcast. We're so excited to have you both with us. So before we dive in, I wondered if you could just tell me a little bit about yourselves and then how you each got involved in WizKids.
Sure. I'm Rachel. I have the honor of serving as the Chief Operations Officer for CityCare, and I've been around 5 years, actually, this month. So my background is nonprofit, was really interested in the work that CityCare was doing in Oklahoma City and the surrounding areas, and really intrigued by their mission and happy to be a part.
And I'm Jessica Mayfield. I am the Director of WizKids. I have been there for about a month, but really over the past year especially, I feel like my heart for advocacy for the overlooked and the vulnerable has just grown. It's been something that God's just placed on my heart, and to have the opportunity to serve with WizKids is just in line with that. So I'm really excited to be there.
That's wonderful. Well, Rachel, I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about your background and what made you so passionate about this kind of work.
I was raised in a small town by my grandmother. My mom passed away a week after my first birthday. And in the moment, I was just a kid. I had a great upbringing. My grandmother was wonderful. My church community was wonderful. But what I've learned in looking back is that we lived in poverty. And that's a thing that sounds a little funny to maybe not know in the moment, but we didn't know that because our church community really did fill in the gaps. So my grandmother raised me from the time I was one until I went to college at 17. And there would be envelopes of cash given to my grandmother from the pastor that came from someone for an Easter dress or for cheer camp or whatever. And so I am especially passionate about this work because choices aren't the same for everybody. And that's a belief that is tightly held, especially in this part of the world, but it's just not true. Choices aren't the same for everybody. And what makes the difference in families that experience poverty is relational margin. And my church family growing up really was that relational margin for my grandmother. And I see the benefit of that. Children who grow up in poverty have all kinds of barriers that they come up against. And you can literally identify them by the zip code that they live in. You can say the rate of incarceration is going to be higher, low academic achievement, early parenting, all those things that are tied up in poverty. But when someone is shown a different way and they are given that margin through relationship, they're able to find their way out. It truly is a miracle. And I believe that that work is the practical application of the gospel. It's that important.
So you mentioned this relational margin that your church
provided for your grandma. I wondered, could you tell me a little bit more? What does that mean and how did that work in your life?
Yeah. So my grandmother worked 2 and 3 jobs my whole upbringing. And y'all, I was so naive. I thought it was because she liked working, right? So she had a little job during the day. And then on the weekends, she would work as a waitress, or sometimes she would be a receptionist at this little hair salon in my hometown. So that left me reliant on other people a lot because I was still young. And so I remember that there were community members who picked me up for school because my grandmother was already gone to work, or people who paid for my church camp because we couldn't. So it really worked out that there was an opportunity for me to be highly isolated and not have a ton of enrichment opportunity. But because of the community that I had, my upbringing was just about as normal as you could hope for someone being raised by a grandparent in poverty in small town America.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So Jessica, you mentioned earlier that you were really passionate about advocacy, specifically for children. I wondered, could you tell me a little bit more about what made you so passionate about that?
Early on, my parents were really intentional with showing us that we were brought into a place with a lot of privilege and that we have the opportunity to exercise that on behalf of other people. And so I think that that was always something that was on my radar. But definitely over the past year, I feel like Jesus has really bended my heart towards his and shown me a lot about the fact that he's asking us to be given to one another. And so it's the gospel at work for us to lean into that and to take him at his word and to respond in that way. And so it went from being this ideal that made me a better person into this responsibility that because I believe who Jesus says he is, that my life needs to represent that. And so it really has become this part of walking with Jesus. I get to know his heart better by serving people.
I love that. I think that's such good perspective for all of us. So you both have talked about how this is kind of the gospel being played out. And so Rachel, I wondered if you could tell us a little bit more about the mission and vision of CityCare and then specifically WizKids within CityCare.
Sure. So when CityCare came to be, they were just a group of ragtag guys who were interested in creating relationship with vulnerable people. So that manifested in grilled cheese lunch at a church once a week for people experiencing homelessness. But what they realized as they started creating relationship with the individuals who would come to the lunch, they were seeing these sort of intergenerational threads of trauma and crisis and relational poverty. So they put their heads together and they thought, what can we do to actually rewrite these stories, right? So that pull to the path of least resistance, it is so strong. And I mean, in Oklahoma, if you are the child of an incarcerated parent, by the time you're 25, you are 7 times more likely than your peers to be incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that you have a parent who has experienced that. So they really were looking for some kind of interruption to that cycle. And there was a group in Denver doing this sort of mentorship program. They really loved it and they brought it to Oklahoma City, and that was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. When we go out and we recruit volunteers for WizKids, it's very straightforward. It's, can you commit 2 hours a week to literacy-focused and faith-based mentorship? We have a lot of success with that. We have 1,600 volunteers across the city who do that on a weekly basis for 850 kids. That's not even scratching the surface of what the need is in Oklahoma City, but it is a big impact. And what we find is that it doesn't stop at the 2-hour mark, that these are real relationships. They meet needs for each other.
I love that you bring that up because that's a big part of our strategy as Life Church is we believe in restoration through relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered, could you tell me a little bit about some of the relationships on both the mentee and the mentor side?
So I think every person who goes into volunteer work, even if you don't want to think this, we're kind of programmed to think, I'm going to go and I'm going to fill in the blank, make a difference, right? I'm going to build a house. I'm going to tutor a child. I'm whatever. But what actually happens, what our thousands and thousands of tutors have told us over the years is that they are stirred and they are changed and God does a new work in their heart through this relationship. So it's very much a two-way street, and it's very beautiful. one of my very favorite and most tender stories is my friend Baruch. And Baruch is a senior in college, and he was a WizKids mentee, obviously, a very long time ago. And his mentor's name was John. And Baruch had a great family, as a lot of our WizKids do. They have loving guardians and parents who have finite resources or finite time, and they accept the limitations of their humanity and ask for help. And I think that's very honorable and beautiful. So Baruch had this great family, but they were English learners, and so he was behind in school and not doing very well. So he was matched with John. My favorite story about this friendship just happened a couple of years ago. John was ill, and it was the end of this lifetime for him. And in that moment, when he was being returned to Jesus, there were two people in the room. There was his wife, and there was his mentee, Baruch. And I really love that Baruch got to hold his hand during that moment.
Wow, that's incredible. I love how you mentioned that the relationships that are formed through WizKids really are both sides. That's really special.
Yes.
And so one of the other things that we're focused on in this episode is about education, because mm-hmm. we believe that it does unlock opportunities for people. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about how you've seen that idea of education unlocking opportunity play out either personally or through WizKids or even through City Care initiatives.
Yeah. So education truly is the great equalizer. We have examples of children who are at risk. Once they gain access to education, they can erase any achievement gap that they are experiencing due to lack of books or lack of enrichment opportunity or what have you. So our WizKids, they come into the program, they're all at risk for school failure. And how that's identified is the school's rating their reading scores. And there's this kind of philosophy that children learn to read and then they read to learn. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't ever get to that literacy, then they're going to struggle throughout their life. If you look at people who are experiencing incarceration in our prisons and jails, you will find that the large majority of them are illiterate. They read at like a third grade level. So we can tie those two things together. We know it's that important. So if we can get to those children that we can identify at risk for school failure early, teach them how to read, then the world is unlocked for them.
Wow, that's incredible. Do you have any stories of people who have gone through WizKids and have seen some of those opportunities being unlocked for them?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Baruch is definitely one of those. He's published a book. Wow. He has his own family foundation now. I mean, he's just, this boy's going to be president one day. But I'm thinking of another young woman named Thelma who went through WizKids program and she graduated Harvard.
Oh, wow.
And we have a board member now who was a WizKids and she's a licensed therapist here in Oklahoma City. So yes, lots of examples of kids coming through. And what happens is that achievement gap is erased. And in a year after the program, they're reading on par with their peers. So we're putting books in their hands. We're exposing them to subjects that they've never learned about. And we're disrupting the idea that the world tells you that people don't stick. What your WizKids mentor is really saying is, I'm here, I'm present, I'm for you, and you have my full attention. And children in poverty have to share everything. I can tell you that from experience. And this is an experience where they don't have to share anything. It's just for them.
Wow, I love that. So what are some ways that people can get involved in WizKids?
I mean, we really need mentors because the one-to-one aspect of our program is the most important part. And so without mentors, we have all these kids that are just waiting to be served. And so we can definitely plug you in somewhere.
And I'd say in the same way that not every family feels called to adoption, the church is called to the work of adoption. Mm-hmm. I think the work is the same within WizKids. So you may not feel called to be a mentor, but there are so many other opportunities to engage in this work. We have whole teams of people who come in to specifically cook the meals. Or if a life group wanted to get together and adopt a site and add value to their experience through celebrating birthdays or acknowledging the holidays. We leave it broad on purpose because we don't own this issue and we don't purport to know all the answers. So we would say, what are your gifts? What are your resources? What are your interests? Let's find a way to add value to our WizKids experience, and let's find a way to engage you in this work.
That's incredible. What does a typical night of a WizKids look like, and what do they do as mentors?
Yeah, so each site has a start time at a different time, but it's right after school. And the kids arrive and they are given a nutritious meal. Then they have club time. And at that time, they are getting to hear the good news about Jesus. I mean, we have kids that are hearing that message for the first time or are having it presented as good news for the first time. Mm-hmm. And while that is happening, the mentors are meeting with the teacher liaison and the teacher is helping them prepare for their time of mentoring. So after club time, the mentor and the student come together and they get to read together, and then they just get to work on building relationships. So one of the things that we're excited to introduce in part of our mentor training is a little bit of social and emotional learning curriculum so that we also are getting to work with the kids on being emotionally literate and being able to speak to what their feelings are, what their experiences are, because we also know that being able to speak the language of emotions and being able to say what's going on in your life actually has a really powerful impact on being able to work through it.
Yeah, I think that's really so good. Important.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of what the mentors are doing is also helping their self-esteem.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just having somebody that is focused on you for an hour. I mean, like Rachel said earlier, they don't have to share that relationship. That is theirs. That sends some strong messaging to children who a lot of times have been overlooked or have gotten the opposite messaging. And so that's powerful.
That's great. And so what if I don't feel qualified to be a mentor?
I think it's important to not overthink it. You know, when you talk about, am I qualified to be a mentor? Are you qualified to be a friend? Have you had a true friendship in your life? Then you are qualified to be a mentor.
Mm, yes.
I think the best thing that we can teach our kids, and especially children who are at risk for school failure, is resilience. Mm-hmm. And you do that through authenticity. So if I fumble through a phonics lesson, that's okay, because I'm going to try again. I think that more than perfection, what is critical for our WizKids to experience is authenticity. And that leads to resilience, which leads to success.
That's really good. So what is your favorite part about the work that you do?
My favorite part of the work we do is handing it over. This isn't a program that you can come volunteer at. This is an on-ramp to your own response to the gospel.
Even just this last week, we went and visited a site, and it's so exciting to see people bring their God-breathed gifts to WizKids, to CityCare, and how that application actually looks within their relationship with their WizKid, within the site. I mean, every site has a unique personality, and I think it needs to be that way because they are serving a very unique community. But at the site that we were at this week, they had a garden because they had two horticulturists. Mm. And within the garden, the kids, they were learning about creation. And then they were actually getting to dig their hands into the dirt and plant a garden. All of them that I talked to, it was their first time to ever plant carrots. And later they're going to get to eat those. But it was just neat to see somebody taking their passion and saying like, hey, let's apply this in the way that we're going to serve our kids.
I love that hands-on learning that they got to experience.
Oh,
that
so
is
neat.
So neat.
Yeah, it was really sweet. The kids were giddy.
So how has working at WizKids impacted your personal faith?
I think for me, my brokenness gets exposed. And I think about the opportunity to just draw near to Jesus in my brokenness. I just feel like it's helped me to reckon with my own humanity and appreciate the nuance in our relationships. We're complicated, we're messy, and we don't have to have it perfect to be near one another and to be near Jesus.
I think my tendency, especially this day and age in the world, is to just be overwhelmed. And I can tell myself the lie that everything is terrible. Everything is wrong in the world and no one cares about anyone else and everything is terrible. And so being at CityCare has shaped my faith. I see the truth and what I have been telling myself is a lie. And what I see day in and day out is just thousands of people who just care deeply about loving their neighbor. Mm. And they do it in imperfect and messy ways, like Jess was saying, but it is a response to the gospel. And I'm seeing passionate and intelligent and gritty people doing it all over this city in different ways, with their different talents, with their different resources. And so it really just kind of buoys my faith in community and inspires me to keep going, because a lot of the work that we do at CityCare, it's a long game. Nothing that we do is episodic in any way. So what we're doing is authentic relationship, and be it through someone experiencing homelessness or someone in recovery or a child through WizKids. And so we may never, ever see the fruit of what we plant, but that doesn't diminish the importance of the planting.
Well, Mackenzie and Anisha, thank you both so much for being on the You've Heard It Said podcast. We're really excited to have you both. So I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about yourselves.
You want to go first?
Yeah. I love bike riding and baking cakes and cupcakes.
Well, I am Mackenzie. I like reading a lot and cooking and bike riding.
That's awesome.
Anisha is very funny. She's kind of a prankster. She's always pulling little pranks on me when we're at WizKids.
Tell me about a prank that you pulled on Mackenzie.
So at WizKids, I tapped her in her head and she kept thinking something was falling.
Yeah, she'll tap me and then run away. And then I'll spin around and like, where's Anisha? I know it was her. Where'd she go? She's just awesome.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about the first time that you met?
Last year.
We were over Zoom. It was our first year to do WizKids. And we met over a computer screen, which is crazy.
I really was nervous. And then once I started, I'm like, oh, this is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Anisha was always super focused, super fun and giggly, and really wanted to be there every single week. So did mm-hmm. I. WizKids would give us little book bags with activities and a new book for the month, and then I would bring it over to Anisha's house. So I think that was the first time we met in person.
That's awesome.
I love WizKids. I like how I catch up on my reading a lot.
Yeah. You have improved so much. It's crazy. You're reading a full book now without even hesitating.
I read a third grade book, I want to say. And some words I need help with. Mostly, I read it by myself.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys meet on Zoom and then got to hang out at your house a couple of times when you brought mm-hmm. over the books. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your relationship now. What do you love about each other?
I love how Mackenzie makes me laugh and the way she dresses is really pretty. She's sweet. She's really helping me catch up on my reading and I just love it. Mackenzie is basically like a sister. She's so kind. And I love how when we're at WizKids, we read cool books.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love hanging out with Anisha because she's so much fun. She's just super sweet and smart. When Anisha just walks in the room, things are just better. She brings a smile to everyone's face. She's always going up to her teacher or to me and just telling them that she thinks they look beautiful or that she loves them. And I think that is something that I would definitely hope to do more now that I've known Anisha, is just be more of an encouragement to people around me, because it is very special to receive that. And I've loved seeing how focused she has been on reading. She comes to read and focus, and she can really turn her full attention to something, and I really admire that. I look forward to Tuesdays. every single Tuesday. I'm like, yes, it's here. It's the fun day.
I love when it's Tuesday.
And is Tuesday WizKids Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you love most about WizKids?
Reading third grade books. Mm. And also playing Nine Square.
Well, Nisha, I heard that you prepared a pretty special Valentine's surprise for Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you could tell me about it.
Yeah. I was super excited because I wanted it here. And I gave her a nice Valentine's present. It was a chocolate rose. And I want to say a chocolate bear.
Yep. Ooh. And lots of candies. Yeah. And a Valentine's Day card. It was full of Valentine's goodies.
So what made you want to give her such a special Valentine's surprise?
Because she's always given me presents and stuff, so I just want to get her a nice kind of Valentine's present.
Aw, that's awesome. So tell me about what was it like when you gave it to her?
She makes me laugh, so I just kept laughing.
She couldn't even talk. She was just giggling and couldn't even get any words out because she was laughing so much. She was giddy, probably because I was so excited opening it, too.
Yeah.
You saw how happy I was.
How did it feel when you got that surprise?
I was so excited. I was not expecting it at all. It was just, I mean, Anisha and her mom, Lisa, have just always been so welcoming. And it was this special gift that was like, you mean something to me. And I love Anisha so much, but it's so special to be able to receive something that was really, really unexpected. And it was Valentine's Day. And Anisha just kept sneaking. She would just like whisper in my ear, like, you're my Valentine. You're my Valentine. And it was very, very special.
Yeah, I love it. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you think people should know about WizKids or anything else you want to share?
WizKids is a fun program. I bet all the kids in the planet could be in WizKids. Because WizKids is really helping me get catch up on my reading, so I'm pretty sure that it could help other people catch up on their reading.
I think if you are wanting to reach out in some way and get involved with kids and reading and telling kids about Jesus, I mean, you get to get one-on-one with these awesome kids. You get to know their families. You get to help them with their reading, which, I mean, who doesn't like reading children's books? I love children's books. It's just a great way to serve and to grow yourself and just to get to know amazing people.
I feel like we've commented on it every episode, but I just love how in both our conversation with Rachel and Jessica and in our conversation with Mackenzie and Anisha, the importance of relationships came up.
Yeah, for me, that's something that this whole season is teaching me. And I feel like I should already know this, but here's how I would say it. One thing I'm learning is that you can't really love your neighbor without building relationships. It's just like a no-brainer, but I don't know that I always think about it that way. Hmm. And it's difficult to grow without trusted relationships. I guess all these dots are connecting for me.
Yeah, and I think for education, it's important for us to see that it's not just about growing in our knowledge, but it's about increasing our understanding so that we gain new perspectives, so that we develop empathy, and so that we can grow in our love. And when we learn more, it expands our worldview, and that allows us to care for others more deeply because we know more about them.
Right, that makes sense.
And that's why education is important. It's not just about getting educated so we move up the success ladder, have a better life. Like, it's so that we can unlock opportunities for more of God's kids to flourish and thrive.
So education isn't just about college degrees. It's about taking the skills and experiences that I have, that you have, and using them to make a difference. So education just happens to be a primary way that you gain access to opportunities in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we care about it as a church, because God cares about everything that's going to help restore his creation.
Right. And I mean, you even see that the disciples were labeled as uneducated, but they had a lot of relevant skills that allowed them to fund and to fuel their ministry.
Yep.
So I mean, James and John, they're fishermen, and they're able to use both their skills as fishermen and their skills of telling others about Jesus. So both of those things mattered.
And so as you're listening, we hope that you'll think about your specific education, whether it's skills you've learned, schools you've been to, or opportunities in life that you've had. Think about this question, and then will you just talk about it with your friends and your life group and your family? You know what I'm going to say, and a neighbor. How might I use the knowledge and skills I have to serve others?
And it might be volunteering with a local mission partner like WizKids, where you get to tutor and build relationships with kids. Or it might be teaching a college kid how to code, or it could be adopting a first-year teacher and offering to build their classroom. It all matters. I mean, just imagine the potential that could be unleashed if we all used what we had to help others learn and grow.
And I would just add, like, it could be helping someone to learn French. I'm sitting here in a big cold room recording this. Where are you? If you're alone, will you do something for us? Will you make sure you find some friends, family, or neighbors to talk to about everything you're hearing? We've made that super easy to do with a conversation guide. Think of it as like a cheat sheet for having great conversations. And I promise it's going to help you start a great conversation, and you can find it in the show notes of every episode. Thanks, and have a great week.